show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly.
I'm your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk, Paradise, and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are toll-free USA 877-270-8714 for Canada, 888-861-3519, and our direct lines are same area code 530-876-3223 or 413-4515. I want to personally make an announcement to all my admins that have assisted me in my radio rooms. Thank you to each and every one of you. I send you much, much love, support, and hugs your way. And we are totally in gratitude for your divine service, not only to this radio show, but to all the listeners as well, worldwide. And it's really, really great. We're going to have a great show this evening. I have been really looking forward to this show for this evening. And I have a wonderful guest that is going to share a lot of her wonderful work in her book, The Protector, with each of you this evening. Now, I must say, I personally read this book, and I went, wow, now this is a great book. And it was very, very refreshing for me, is that it was out of what I normally am reading. All about spiritual techniques and modalities and all those types of things. And what I really appreciate is our author this evening put a really nice touch to the book titled Protector. And I found it just drew me in and I couldn't put the book down. I had to stay with this book to the very last page. If you're a reader like I am, it's always nice when you can come across a book that really just sucks you right into it, and you've got to have more. And this indeed is one of those great books. To share the title of this book once again, and it's called The Protector. Our guest for this evening's name is Laurel Dewey, and she is indeed the author of this wonderful book called Protector. And you will find that this young lady, my first thought was when I read her bio, where did this so very. It's obvious that she has a tremendous amount of passion for the work that she does. Now, what you'll find is Laurel, during her writing career, has been anything but predictable. And I will add, the book is definitely a very unpredictable book, and I And as I had shared with all of you this evening, it's one of those books that just keeps you completely engaged with it. She was born and raised in Los Angeles, California. Dewey began her work in the public relations field for such celebrities as Barbara Streisand and Frank Sinatra. Now, Dewey later went on to explore other entertainment avenues, including serving an assistant editor at BOP magazine, which helped launch the blockbuster career of teen pop groups such as the New Kids on the Block. During this time, she wrote a string of award-winning, highly applauded mystery radio plays for Los Angeles radio networks. Not satisfied to write in only one gender, but Dewey went on to pen a Western novel, In the Name of the Land, which nominated for a Silver Spur Fiction Award. A collection of short stories followed, as did a successful sting writing and producing radio ads and promotions. In the early 1900s, Dewey relocated to rural Colorado, but her eccentric writing continued as she pursued work as a freelance investigative journalist, advertising, marketing promoter, and editor of children's books. Wow! In the mid and late 1990s, two of her books on plant medicine were publicized along with 10 booklets and hundreds of articles on alternative health. During this time, she appeared as a featured guest on over 300 national radio and television programs and lectured extensively across the United States and Canada. So without further delay, let's all give our guest a warm welcome to the show. Welcome and aloha.
Aloha, Leilani, and thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, and it's thrilling for me to be able to talk with such a woman that's so dedicated in her writings, and it definitely, your book, Protector, has really reflects your passion for writing. So the first thing I would like to ask of you, if you would be willing to give out your website and your contact information for your great book to all our listeners this evening.
Of course. My website is my name, which is www.laurelduty.com, and that's LaurelDewey.com. And on the front page or the home page of my website, I have a place where you can contact me. You can write in. I've got a place where people who've read the book can contact me and write. They can write their own review, which I post on the website. And my email would be laurel@laureldewey.com.
Thank you. Well, if you would, I'd love for you to share with all of our listeners this evening what inspired you to write this book, Protector.
You know, it was a long-term process, Leilani. I started out, I would say, possibly a good probably 5 years before I put pen to paper or, you know, started on the computer writing it. I decided that it came much more from a character-driven perspective. I had the idea of this Jane Perry, Detective Jane Perry, who is the lead in the story, and it was much more derived or driven, let's say, by her life and her disintegrating world. And I did not have a story vehicle to put her into yet. I just had this fascinating character that I didn't really know anything about. So as I was driving around the country lecturing during my herbal work and alternative medicine, I would do these long drives, sometimes, you know, state to state, and I would use the time up by just thinking about this character in my mind's eye. and creating more and more of a story, more and more of a life around her. And it was really something just to keep me occupied, to be honest with you. But then I became so captured by this character that I had created over a period of years. And within, I'd say, 1999, 2000, I started to really create a story around it that was born from her life. It was a very organic process. That word is used so often now, but it really was an organic process. And the book has been talked about more as a character-driven metaphysical crime thriller, because while you do care who done it, and while you're engaged in that whole part, you're really more engaged, what readers are telling me, in the story of Jane Perry. They want to, and when the book is over, they want more of her. And that was exactly what I put into it. And you talk, by the way, about passion. I'm glad that showed up, because I put a tremendous amount of heart and passion into this when I was writing it over a period of 16 months.
Wow. That's incredible. And you know what was really interesting? Because you actually went out on the field and worked with investigators that helped become part of that catalyst for writing this book. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I didn't want to just, you know, get my background in crime novels, obviously, from watching Law and Order, or at that time NYPD Blue was on. And while I love watching crime shows and you know, anything that has to do with crime and mystery, I love that, I wanted to get a real feel for what it really is like inside a homicide department. And I went all over. I went to Denver. I went to Grand Junction, Colorado. I'm in Colorado. And I went to small towns. I spent a great deal of time just hanging out with cops of all shapes and sizes, all, you know, levels of some detectives, some guys that worked behind the front desk, some people who worked in interrogation, some people who worked the crime scenes, you know, the actual crime scene. And I wanted to get a real feel for their personality and understand why they do what they do. And a lot of people have said the book is very graphic in places, which it is. They've also, some people have commented on the language in the book. But I can guarantee you, I toned it down hugely, because what I did hear, the stories I heard, the language I heard when I was hanging out with these people was far more graphic than what I put in the book. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to get that reality. I just really was driven to that, and I learned that the character that I had created was very easily could fit into their world. And I even named, there was a wonderful man that I worked with out of Grand Junction. He was a detective at the time. And I decided to name my sergeant after him in the book, Sergeant Weiler. And ironically, by the time the book got published, he was promoted to sergeant. So I told him I had something to do with that.
Allow me to make this comment. You know, it's really interesting because we're all adults. And it's so interesting because, you know, let's all face it. We've heard the language. A lot of us have, once periodically. But, you know, I have to tell you, I didn't find it offensive in any kind of way.
I truly didn't,
and that's just my personal perspective. And, you know, part of being a radio host, obviously, would be, and you know, to protect what I bring forth to my listeners. And, I just felt very compelled to, you know, really share this book with everyone. And it brings to mind another very interesting thought that I've had floating in the back of my mind, is that, well, there's a couple of components here. First of all, is that you're actually giving people the opportunity to maybe tap into a better understanding how things happen, how they unfold to bring a person to that point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Could you share a little bit more about your thoughts on that as well?
You mean the point of are we talking about the point of consciousness raising, like the character involves, or what do you mean exactly?
Because I know that a lot of times, you know, for us to understand why things happen the way they do in our personal lives, or, you know, we turn on the TV and we watch certain things, I know for myself as an individual, I sat back and went, wow, I can't imagine even why that person would come to that level and bring themselves to a point to where they would actually commit, you know, even any form of crime for that matter.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes. Well, I had to delve in some very dark spaces to find that, because without giving anything away in the book has not just the murder that takes place of the family, but it's actually two different families that are murdered, but it also delves into the horrific abuse background of the main character, Detective Jane Perry, which is, by all intents and purposes, graphic. And I have one specific scene, which I'm sure you know about, where I finally uncover, you find out why Jane Perry is the way she is based on one incident in her life that was extremely violent and traumatic, and really the fulcrum for why she's what she is. And I really had to delve into some dark, dark places. I can't tell you how many people have asked me. I've done a lot of tours and radio shows and speaking engagements, and invariably someone who's read the book will say to me, and they're kind of careful as they stand up and ask me this question when I see them in person. They'll say, you couldn't have written this book without having experienced this, without experiencing the just flat-out darkness. And partly that's true. I have experienced, I went through a depression in 1999, but I came out of it, and I will say that I think from that depression, I was able to create more honesty and reality and pragmatism, I would say, of the character. But I will say that the 16 months it took me to write this book, I did have to delve into some extremely dark places in order to come up with some of these extremely violent scenes. But none of it was done gratuitously or to titillate readers. It wasn't done like that. It was born out of reality. I had to witness some pretty graphic photographs that when I was researching the book with different police officers and detectives, they showed me crime scenes. I never went physically to a crime scene because I wasn't allowed to do so, but I saw many, many, many crime scene photos, graphic photos of children who'd been murdered. I read plenty of police reports they would give me to read. I studied the mind of a killer and what, you know, different types of killers and what they think. And it was extremely dark, graphic information. And I'm a very sensitive person, but I was able to suspend that sensitivity, so to speak, and read this stuff and be able to metabolize it in my brain and then be able to, project it onto the page in an artistic way. So, I have to straddle that place between sensitivity but also the idea that, okay, I have all this information, I have to give it in a reasonable place. And it was not easy. I'm not saying it was an easy book to write. It wasn't. It was a really cathartic piece to write. But I think it shows up on the page that where I was passion-wise.
Absolutely, and you did. You did a great job. And it was interesting because, you know, like I had mentioned earlier, it wasn't one of those books I picked up and went, oh, my gosh, what have I got myself into? It was one of those books that really drew me in. And you know, I have to say, you know, as I read the book and just kept absorbing all this incredible information, because you're unfolding a lot of information throughout the book, is that what I found for myself, it helped me to stand back and look at things around us with a more of objective, but yet with an awareness that I would not have necessarily had.
That's a very interesting comment. I appreciate that. Absolutely.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, it's always important, too, even, you know, regardless if whatever path we choose to be on in this, at this time, it's also important, I feel, as an individual, that it's also important to be aware and to understand some of the components that goes on around us. And,
absolutely.
You know, and you've done a great job with that. Well, so share with us about your main character, the detective Jane Perry.
Jane Perry is a very complicated individual. She has spent most of her life in a sense of trauma, on the brink of trauma. She's experienced a lot of trauma in her life. I'm not going to give away what happened to her, but it certainly is an aspect of why she's the way she is. She's a very no-nonsense individual. She comes across pretty hard and pretty unforgiving and pretty much by the book. But as you mentioned, I unfold in the book why she's like that. I get a lot of people who read the book, readers who email me all the time, and they'll say, well, you know, the first 25 pages, I didn't really like her, but I couldn't stop reading about her. She was like a traffic accident. You can't stop but help but slow down. And then they said, and then I found out, there's always one catalyzing scene. There's a scene in the cop, I forget what page it's on, but it's between where she meets the Mexican woman and the child. And that's the scene that typically gets people drawn in. They go, oh, okay, I like her now. And then when they find out what it is that happened to her and why she is so dysfunctional, then they start to have great compassion and empathy for her. And then they're rooting for her. So I hear all the time where they'll say, I didn't like her in the beginning, and then it's like I just couldn't stop liking her, and then I really was rooting for her, and then I wanted her to succeed. So that took a lot of work to make that happen. But she's a wonderful character in the sense that she's rough and crude as she is. She's an alcoholic and a chain smoker. As rough and crude as she is the kind of person I would want taking care of me, protecting me, because I know that she would lay down her life for me, and I know that she would take great care in making sure that I was safe. And so people have said, would you want her as, one woman asked me, one radio show host asked me, would you want her as a friend? And I said, I don't know if she'd want me as a friend. I don't know if she has that. Jane Perry doesn't really have any friends. But I think I'd like to know her, and I'd certainly like if I had to choose someone to protect me from a criminal element, I'd want her taking care of me.
Well, I agree with you. So share with us how you came up with these names for these characters.
Oh, well, that's sort of a old writer's, that's where we get to have fun. We get to put our friends and our enemies in our characters. I came up with Jane Perry. Her name was actually originally going to be Detective Kate Lincoln, and I actually write about this on my blog. I was talking to my aunt one day and saying, because my aunt was very much into getting me to write the Jane Perry novels, and at that time it was going to be the Kate Lincoln novels, and so she says, well, Kate Lincoln, that sounds like a woman who's kind of a Nordstrom shopper. I said, oh, no, Kate Lincoln she shops at Eddie Bauer or L.L. Bean. And she goes, well, then you better change your name, because Kate Lincoln sounds more, you know, like a, and I said, well, I don't know what I'm going to call her. She goes, well, you got to change that name. Well, I decided, my aunt, who had been a very big supporter of me all these years, her name is Jane. So I thought, in honor, I would name my character Jane. And then I had, my uncle was named Perry, and I never knew him. And there's a place I ski around here called, Nordic ski, cross-country ski, and it's called Perry Pass. And I thought, Jane Perry, one day, that sounds like a nice, solid, decent, you know, hard-nosed name. And she became Jane Perry. So that's how Jane Perry got her name. Sergeant Wyler in the book, I named him after the detective Wyler, who helped me so much. He was a wonderful guy in Grand Junction, Colorado. And so I gave him that nod. I named I'm not going to give it away, but I named the villains in the book after people who I knew growing up who had been less than solicitous to me. We'll leave it at that. For people who had given me a hard time growing up, so it's the old writer's way of sort of getting back with the pen by naming your villain after someone who you didn't care for growing up. And other characters I named after people. I named one character after one of my editors. I named another character after a childhood friend. I funnily enough, named one of the characters after a very wonderful friend of mine at the time, not knowing that 5 years after I wrote the book, I would marry him. So there's all these kind of cool little things going on in the book as far as the names.
Wow. Well, share with my listeners tonight, because you have a very rich background and a lot of great things that you have done. And I'd really like my listeners to really get to know who you are. And so could you share with us tonight some about your work that you've done as well?
Sure. I mean, it's definitely eclectic. It's I'm a Gemini, so what can I say? I can't do the same thing for too long. I have I started out always, I mean, it's from the age of, quite frankly, six, knowing I wanted to be a writer. And both of my parents were supportive, believe it or not, of somebody who wanted to be a writer. Usually you don't really support somebody who wants to be a writer. It's a bit of a job that gets no money. It's like saying you want to be a poet. But my parents were very supportive of me and encouraged me. And so took a lot of writing classes. I did a lot of writing as a child. I was always writing stories and plays. And so when I got out of college, there was a mystery show, radio show, that was in very popular in Los Angeles at the time. It's no longer around. But I submitted a play to them that was, again, in this kind of metaphysical mystery realm, kind of like a Twilight Zone. And they bought it. I was 19 years old, and I sold my first script. So I thought, this is fun. I loved it. It was wonderful. I got to hear them produce it. They let me come and watch them as they produced it and did it. And it was just fantastic. And I sold about four or five shows to that show, to that producer. And I struggled through college just trying to get different gigs. But I did a lot of advertising work. I did some voiceover work. I did a lot of different work in Hollywood. And I did a lot of ghostwriting. I've done tremendous amount of ghostwriting for other people. And everything from, you name it, alternative medicine to restaurant reviews to business reports to entertainment. And when I got out of college, I started working for a public relations firm. I wasn't representing Barbra Streisand or Frank Sinatra. I was on the team that did so, and I was a minor member of the team. But I did get to hang out in some pretty rarefied environments, and it was pretty cool when you're 23 years old and hanging out with, you know, Barbra Streisand and going to these events. And I got to meet Leonard Bernstein. I got to meet everybody. I mean, the country music duo, the Judds. I got to meet, you name it. I got to meet Prince, Kenny Loggins.
Oh, my gosh, don't tell me that.
He's one of my favorite
well,
people. Everybody's a little different. And one thing I learned about the entertainment industry is it's an extremely weird place to be. And so, anyway, I worked in publicity for a couple of years and wasn't really getting anywhere because I wasn't getting where I wanted to be as far as I was trying to move up the ladder, and I was pretty much stuck in a position. So I quit that job and I went on and did a lot of freelance writing, worked at Disney freelancing briefly, and then I got this job at Bop Magazine, which is, I think, still around. But it was also another magazine called The Big Bopper, and these were teen idol magazines that were extremely popular. This was the late 80s, early 90s, actually more like the late 80s. And that's when I really hit my stride. That's when we helped discover a group called the New Kids on the Block. And if you were 12 or years to 16 years old in 1988, you knew who the New Kids on the Block were. They were hotter than hot, and we had a huge, huge hand in promoting them and bringing them into the mainstream. They were playing ratty little clubs, and when I say ratty, I mean ratty clubs, because I was there, and there were rats running in the back where I was standing. So, I mean, I can vouch for that. But I was in charge of their publicity team and their marketing team, and rode that for 2.5 years, and it was a wild ride. Well, we weren't just promoting the New Kids in the Block. We were promoting a lot of different groups and actors and actresses. So I got to spend a lot of time in Hollywood on movie sets and travel all over the country and travel with rock and roll stars and actors.
Wow.
And
I think I'm going to come and hang out with you.
Well, no. My life is very, very different now. No, because when you work nonstop 2.5 years and you don't have a break and you're literally working 7 days a week and you're working, you know, you're getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning and you're going to bed at 4 or 3 and you're not, and I wasn't doing drugs like everybody else was doing to stay awake. I wasn't sniffing cocaine like the rest of them were. I couldn't understand how everybody else could function so well, and I was always tired. Well, I found out they were doing cocaine. So anyway, you burn out after 2.5 years, which I did, and I did it in the biggest way possible. I basically passed out, and so I had to take some time off. Pardon?
I apologize for the interjection here, but you know, I've got two questions for you, because I can see two things happening with this book, Protector, is a series, a possibility of a series happening, and a possible movie as well. So what are your thoughts on that?
I hear it all the time, and the series is actually, I've written and I've completed the sequel to Protector. I've titled it Redemption, and I'm actually, as we speak, working on the third book. I don't have, right now, the publisher, there's no publisher in line for the sequel yet, although I've got a couple looking at them right now. So the sequel is absolutely correct, and I see this as a series. I've got at least 5 books outlined where I know I can take the series. And as far as a movie, I hear that all the time. Everybody who reads the book, even reviewers have mentioned it, it would make a really good film with a great, you know, Hollywood's always talking about how they don't have any good movies for 35-year-old women, and Jane Perry in the book is 35 years old, and they don't have any great vehicles for 35-year-old women. Well, this would be a hot movie for a good, you know, lead woman, female character. I even did a contest on my website where I said, I got so many people saying it would make a great movie, that I decided to do a website and do a contest and have people send in who they would like to see play Jane Perry in addition to the other cast members. I got some really very, very interesting casting ideas. But I got Jodie Foster seemed to be the one everybody wanted.
Ooh,
but I
she'd be good.
I don't
she'd
think she.
Good.
I know she's very good. I think she's a little old to play the role, however. The one that other people saw was Hilary Swank, and that's who I kind of see playing the lead character. So to answer your question, yes, it's a matter of somebody from Hollywood picking up the book, seeing the which I think is a very good potential. Of course, I'm a little, you know, junk. You know, I'm the writer, so of course I would love to be a movie, but I think it'd be fantastic.
No, it was immediate. As I got more and more involved with the book, I said, wow, this would be a really great movie.
Well, you can chalk a lot of that up to my background in Hollywood, because when I wrote a lot of spec scripts when I was in L.A. before I left and to move to Colorado to change my life. And I had one wonderful agent when I was in Los Angeles, and I submitted, I can't tell you how many film scripts I wrote, and also I wrote a lot of television spec scripts. And she looked at me one day and she says, you know, Laurel, if you could write a novel that was like a screenplay, but read like, you know, where you could read it and it had a lot of drama and passion, but you knew it was going to be a great movie, she said, I think you'd have a winner. And I never forgot that. And shortly after that, I left Los Angeles and moved to Colorado, completely changed my life, basically reinvented myself. But I never forgot that comment of hers, and you know, I have written that book.
Well, let me share with you, if I may, some of the comments that we're actually getting from the listeners. And Nika says, yes, it does sound like it would make a really great movie. And I will agree, Nika. You know, once you sit down and read this book, you know, I was pleasantly surprised on how well this book just kept me engaged. I really didn't want to put it down. And of course, I was one of those, I had to read it till I got to the very last page, and then it was gone. I was saying to myself, oh my God, I'm done. You know, I wanted more. So there's some other comments here as well, and Peace Lover wants to know that she applauds you. She also says here, let me see, where did it go? I apologize, I lost her. A legend is a legend. So what she's really saying to you is that she realizes, just as you're sharing with all of us, is what a true legend you truly are, and you've earned that through your walk here. And you know, I have to say to you, you've got a great book here. And I mean that sincerely to you, and I could see a lot of great things happening for you and for your book, and I'm really looking forward to the other series as well, from The Protector. So it wouldn't surprise me if you someday sent me an email saying, guess what, Leilani, they're going to make a movie.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, I will be the happiest camper on the block when I get that email, when I get that call that they want to make a movie out of this, because I've actually visualized the that whole episode occurring. I've visualized myself visiting the set. I've been on enough movie sets that I know what they're like, so I can really visualize it well. I've visualized myself sitting there as they were watching them produce this, and I just think it would be so cool, given my background and given the fact that I struggled pretty much. I mean, I really did struggle as a writer and as a creative person in Los Angeles, and I gave it all up, and I had a lot of people who told me I was crazy for walking away from Los Angeles and that I should just keep trying and keep trying, but I was burned out, and I changed my life, and it was that moment of changing my life and moving to Colorado, to a small town, living in a very rural atmosphere. With the first year I lived here, I had just a wood stove for heat, and I just completely altered. I really wanted to delve into what my purpose was and what I needed to be doing, and went through a lot of changes. And I'm a very different person today than I was when I lived in Los Angeles. But I'm a better person, and I started working, for example, much more with plants. I grew up actually in a family that was very pro alternative medicine, so that was never something very odd to me. But I started writing about alternative medicine. I was very successful in that realm. But my Aunt Jane would always say to me, you know, you've got a book in you. You've got more than one book, and you've got a good book in you. She always had a great amount of faith. And I'd say, what are you talking about? I don't really want to write a novel. But she just always felt that I had something more to give. And she was right. And when I came to the right time, it produced itself. And it was a very, very metaphysical process, I will tell you that, and I don't say that lightly. It was a this whole process of writing the book, of creating the book, of just even getting it published, which was hard to do, and I was turned down by 18 agents. I was turned down by 20-some publishers. Finally went with a very small press, and
well, you know what I have to say about that, don't you? They sure are going to regret it when you start continue moving forward, the other series come out, next thing you know, you'll have a movie production, and they're all going to wish that they had given you that opportunity. And, you know, and I don't say that lightly. I know a good book when I see it. And, you know, I read a lot of books, and I was just amazed over it, and I thought, wow, this is really good. And so I personally wanted to meet you. I personally wanted to hear your thoughts about this book. And I knew if I felt that way, I knew that my listeners would as well. And before, we're getting close to the end of this broadcast, so before I forget, let's give out your website once again, if you will.
Sure. It's my name. It's www.laureldewey.com. That's L-A-U-R-E-L-D-E-W-E-Y.com. And if you want to reach me, you can email me directly at laurel@laureldewey.com.
Thank you. And I also want to remind all the listeners of Paradise Pal Talk. I have that information listed there for you. There's a wealth of information about the book and also about our guest for this evening. I do have her information, her contact information posted up as well. I invite each of you to explore her website, and she's got some very informative information on her website about this her book, Protector. And go check it out, guys. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. I know that I was when I picked it up, and I thought, oh, my goodness, this is really good. And so before we say goodnight to you, is there any last thought that you would like? And by the way, I'm going to keep a sharp eye on you. I just thought I'd let you know that.
Great.
You're
look forward
a great
to
person
it.
That's doing great things.
Is so, there any last thoughts? Well, gosh, I think that, you know, there's a lot of books out there. When I was trying to get the book published, a lot of people told me, you know, you've got the odds of you getting a book published, no matter how talented you are, is very slim because there's more books being published today than there ever was before. The publishers are very picky. Well, I found out that was certainly true. I got a lot of rejection. I was told there were actually some nice rejections. I had rejections like one little rejection from a publisher said, I know you're going to be on the New York Times bestseller list one day. I just do not know how to market your book because they know how to market a crime book, but they didn't know how to market a metaphysical crime book, and it wasn't necessarily paranormal enough. So I had a lot of rejection. It went on for close to 4 years, and I had to go through a lot of sense of what am I doing, am I wasting my time? But every time I would come back to it, I would read the manuscript again, and they went through 4 drafts, and I'd say, you know what? No, this book does have merit. There is something there, and
oh, yeah.
So I just kept plugging away. And like I said, I did go with a small publisher, but I decided that I was tired of waiting for some major publisher to pick it up, and then if it meant going to a smaller publisher, that was okay. The point was I knew that if I got it out in the public and the readers would see what was out there and I would, you know, have that redemption moment of my own life, and it's true, it happened. And I guess my final thoughts are that all the writers that are out there, if you're banging your head on the wall, and I've been banging my head on the wall for, you know, off and on for 26 years.
Well, and my firm believer is big is not necessarily to our advantage. And so I'm really grateful that you had this book published. And I'm glad that you mentioned that it does indeed have a lot of spirituality, metaphysical within this
mm-hmm.
book as well. And I know that our spiritual and metaphysical community would really enjoy reading this book. And
mm-hmm.
so I
feel
know
that
I
that's
did.
That's an untapped market, and I think that it's a market. A lot of metaphysical people wouldn't necessarily maybe read a crime thriller. But this is a book that wraps up a tremendous amount of metaphysical understanding and a mystical element embedded inside a crime thriller. So I think I know that they would like it.
Yes, and I definitely related with it, you know, because I do a lot of healing work. There's just various things that I do on a spiritual level. And so that's where I found it extremely insightful and very informative of, you know, just, it was giving me and teaching me some areas that, you know, that can be very helpful in so many ways as I continue my own journey. But with that note, we have to say goodnight to you.
Okay.
So I've really, really enjoyed our time together, and keep up the great work, and I'm going to keep a sharp eye on you, and I look forward to your other series, and when you are having to make the decision of making a movie of this book called the title, excuse me, Protector. And so go check it out, guys. It's a very refreshing book. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Leilani. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting me on your show.
Thank you. On that note, remember, you are the power and the authority of you, your worlds, and activities. Remember to love thyself with all your heart and love your family. Until we reconnect again, be safe to all and bless you all. Good night. On that note, remember, you are the power in the
search you.